The reading comes from Psalm 67 and can be found on page 411. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God, may all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God our God will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him.
Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is inspired by your Holy Spirit. So please would he come now and open our hearts and our minds that we may receive your message to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The subject of harvest is a rich biblical theme. Firstly, there's the harvest God provides. Seed time and harvest shall not cease. Genesis 8:22. God is incredibly kind to us in the food he gives to us. Secondly, there's the harvest sin produces. A man reaps what he sows. Galatians 6 verse 7. Our choices have consequences. If I choose to go against God's word, I will pay a price for that. I will reap the consequences of that. Thirdly, there's the gospel harvest. The fields are already white and to harvest. John 4:35. In other words, just as the farmer reaps a harvest of crops, so God will reap a harvest of souls. There will be a harvest of people who belong to God. But fourthly, there's the harvest of judgment. The harvest is the end of the age, says Jesus in Matthew 13:39. In other words, at the end of time, God will separate that which is part of the harvest from that which is merely weeds, which is to be thrown away. There will be a separation of the saved and the damned, those who belong to God from those who don't, those who are going to heaven from those who are going to hell. That's the context in which we look at this Psalm 67. Today we thank God for all his good gifts to us, and we dedicate ourselves to him in stewardship. Stewardship means I don't own my life. All the good things in my life are given by God. And they're given for his purposes. My time, my energy, my money, my gifting, the things I'm good at, they're all from God and they're all for God. The purpose of my life is to serve God. It may be that I have a secular career, but I'm there for God. God has put me in North Harts to serve him. Well, let me show you three things about Psalm 67. They're on the backs of your service sheets. A prayer for blessing, the purpose of the blessing, and the prosperity of the blessing. Firstly, then, a prayer for blessing. In verse 1. I wonder, do you often say, God bless? Or you sign a greeting card, God bless? Or every blessing? Christians do this. And this psalm is about God's blessing. But it doesn't mean what we think it means. It doesn't mean, may God make life a bit easier, a bit more enjoyable. verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. God's blessing starts with God's grace to us. See, I'm a sinner. I've rebelled against God. I've ignored him. I deserve his punishment. However, the greatest thing my parents ever prayed for me was that God would be gracious to me. When God is gracious, not only does he not punish me, he blesses me superabundantly, even though I don't deserve it one little bit. Marriage is a good example of this. I've been married to Becca for 18 years. During that time, I've got on her nerves thousands of times. And it would be understandable if she said, I've had enough of you irritating me. But she doesn't say that, remarkably. She's merciful to me. She doesn't tell me she's had enough of me. But more than that, she's gracious to me. She goes on being kind to me. She goes on forgiving me. She goes on blessing me. She gives herself to me when she feels like it, when she doesn't feel like it. She's incredibly gracious to me. And that's just a shadow of what God is like. I deserve hell, because I've effectively shaken my fist at God and told him that I will be my own king. Thank you very much. And far from sending me to hell, God is amazingly gracious. And he gives me heaven. He gives me his love. I know him as Father. So this prayer for blessing begins with God's grace. And the experience of God's blessing is likened to God's face shining on us. This concept was given to Moses in Numbers 6. The opposite of God's blessing is God's face turned away from us. Have you ever fallen out with someone and they turn their face away? They will not look you in the eye. You're not in a right relationship with them. And it shows. This is how it is with God. We sing the line, "The Father turns his face away." This was the experience of Jesus on the cross. Because when Jesus is loaded up with our sin, the Father cannot look at him. Habakkuk 1:13 says, God is of purer eyes than to look on sin. This was the experience of Jesus on the cross. Put bluntly, Jesus experienced God's curse. God is just, and therefore he must curse sin. He must turn his face away from sin. And unless we're forgiven by Christ, we're under God's curse. His face is turned away from us. We may deceive ourselves that all is well. But after we die, God will turn his face away and we will be separated from him in hell forever. But here, the experience of blessing is God's face turned towards us, God's face shining on us, God smiling on us. It's about being in a right relationship with him. That's what it means to be blessed. Now, don't you want this? And don't you want it for your family and friends? Well, that brings us, secondly, to the purpose of the blessing in verses 2-5. Why has God smiled on you this Stewardship Sunday? Why have you been given so many gifts? The reason God has smiled on us is so that we can use our gifts for God to smile on others. If we think, I can keep God's smile for myself, we haven't understood anything. Holiday Inn, when looking for 500 people to fill positions for a new hotel, interviewed 5,000 candidates. The hotel managers interviewing these people excluded all candidates who smiled fewer than 4 times during the interview. This applied to people competing for jobs in all categories. Everyone is looking for a smile. God has smiled on us so that we can smile on others. This is the purpose of the food we've collected today. And it's the purpose of the stewardship survey. God smiles, verse 2, that your ways may be known on earth. Has there ever been a greater need for the ways of God to be known on earth? Western consumerism, terrorism, failing states, totalitarian regimes. What is required is for God's ways to be known on earth. And you're ticking a box on the stewardship form to use your gift, your smile, is your first step to showing God's ways on earth. His salvation among all nations. But surely the Muslim world, or the Hindu world, or the Buddhist world, has its own religion. God's salvation must be known among all nations. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to leave heaven, to be born in poverty, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, taking the punishment for our sin, that we might be forgiven. Then he rose from the dead, to demonstrate that he is God and that this is all true. And God commands all people everywhere to turn from their sin and to trust Jesus as the only one who can save them from hell for heaven. That is the gospel. And this salvation must be made known to all nations. Yes, verse 3. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. This should be the cry of our hearts, that God would pour out his Spirit across the globe so that all nations may come to praise God. A prayer for blessing. The purpose of the blessing, the purpose of our being blessed, is so that all nations on earth might be blessed, might come to be saved through Jesus. Verse 4, may the nations be glad and sing for joy. Sing for joy. There aren't many settings in which people sing together. Rugby is one of them. But when you know God, you are glad and sing for joy. As a third century man was anticipating death, he penned these last words to a friend. It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people are the Christians. And I am one of them. We can know joy in a bad world because, verse 4, you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. Because God is king, God is sovereign, God is in control, persecuted Christians can sing for joy. God is the judge. No one will escape his justice. And the purpose of our blessing is so that all those we meet might come to know the sovereign justice of God rather than fearing it. If you know God's smile, you can approach the judgment of God with confidence. The High Court judge has the power to throw you into a lifelong prison sentence. There's reason to fear such a judge. But the grandchild of the judge knows his smile, knows his favor, and runs into his arms. God has smiled on us. We are safe from his judgment. Now we must work flat out to save others too. Yes, verse 5, may the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Is this the desire of your heart? A prayer for blessing, the purpose of the blessing, and thirdly, the prosperity of the blessing, verses 6 and 7. Prosperity has become a bit of a dirty word in Christian circles. This is because of the so-called prosperity gospel. In the prosperity gospel, we're told, it's not God's will for you to be sick. Therefore, God will give you health, wealth, and success. This is God's will for your life. The problem with this is that Christians suffer. And they've always suffered. And tragically, some Christians have been told that because they're ill or poor, this means they lack faith or that they've done something wrong. The truth, of course, is that we follow a crucified Saviour who calls us to a life of suffering. He said, if anyone would come up after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. Suffering is an essential part of the Christian life. It's how we grow as Christians. We don't mature through having an easy life. We mature through difficulties and trials. So what are we to make of verses like verse 7? Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. The answer is that in the Old Testament, God deals with his people in terms of a physical land and physical blessings. Israel is God's people in God's place, the Holy Land of Israel, under God's rule. However, they could not sustain this. They could not live under God's rule. And therefore, they forfeited the land and the blessing. In the New Testament, the church becomes God's people in God's place, the kingdom of God, under God's rule, enjoying God's blessing. And God does bless us physically. We have an abundant harvest in this country. We have health and strength, some of us. We have wealth. God does prosper his people. This shouldn't be denied. We should thank him for it. But the ultimate place where we will be God's people, in God's place, under God's rule, enjoying his blessing, is heaven. Then we will know perfectly the land yielding its harvest. There'll be no famine in heaven. Verse 7, God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. There'll be no one in heaven who doesn't fear God, who doesn't love God, who doesn't know God. It will be wonderful. Some of us go to Christian conferences like Keswick or Word Alive, and thousands of Christians come together, and there's a wonderful foretaste of heaven. Everyone loves God. C.S. Lewis says in The Problem of Pain, we're very shy nowadays of even mentioning heaven. We're afraid of the jeer about pie in the sky and of being told that we're trying to escape from the duty of making a happy world here and now into dreams of a happy world elsewhere. But either there is pie in the sky or there's not. If there's not, then Christianity is false, for this doctrine is woven into its whole fabric. If there is, then this truth, like any other, must be faced, whether it is useful at political meetings or no. Will you face up to this question? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? We've seen a prayer for blessing. Do you know the reality of God's smile? Do you know his face turned towards you? If not, why don't you come to him today? Why don't you say, Lord God, please smile on me? If you want that, you must acknowledge the rule of Jesus in your life. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is the Saviour. When Jesus died on the cross, he was loaded up with our sin. He took the punishment we deserve. He took hell so we might know heaven. If you want God's smile, you must come to Jesus and ask him to be your Saviour and your King. Then there's the purpose of the blessing. It's not to be kept to ourselves. God will bless us, verse 7, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Your stewardship form is your first step to fulfilling this purpose. Maybe God wants you to go and be a missionary to China. But the first step is you offering to help in the Sunday club, or the youth work, or wherever you see God is calling you. Fill in the form prayerfully. Fill in the form enthusiastically. You have been blessed for a purpose. So thirdly, the prosperity of the blessing. God is blessing the Christian and will bless the Christian in heaven with the greatest prosperity imaginable. C.S. Lewis again. Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. We are far too easily pleased. What do you take your joy from? There's nothing wrong with the good things of this life. But we should not take our joy from drink or sex or ambition or shopping or sport or anything else. We should take our joy from Christ, from knowing him. loving him, serving him, and ultimately being with him for all eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the amazing blessing you offer to us in Christ. Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here this morning who's not yet moved from the place of your curse to the place of your blessing, that they would come to trust in Christ for themselves today. And Lord, for all of us who know your blessing, help us not to hold it for ourselves, but help us to share your blessing with this church, with this community, with our nation, with the world. Thank you for those who've gone out from this church to serve you overseas. And we pray for them that they will be very aware of your blessing on them as they bless others. So we thank you, Lord, for your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen.